Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. I would like to pick up the reading in verse 14, where we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22, beginning the reading at verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this. As we come to look at the Lord's Supper, to understand what God has given to us here, and that is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But yet we see now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying what He has done for us is a connection to even what the God the Father has done to His Old Testament saints. He's saying to us as we come to this very text is that redemption that we see in the Old Covenant, we're going to see a redemption now. And as we come to this, we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ, He desires us to concentrate or focus ourselves upon Him, His death, and that death on our behalf. His institution of the Lord's Supper is a means of blessing for you and I, that we may be able to live a richer, deeper life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may see our Savior follow after Him, but yet on top of that, or leading to that, we may see God the Father, who has done great things for us. Jesus Christ knew that it would require that we be taken to this cross often in order to meditate upon Him and His death, because we would need that in our walk. Therefore, we must come expecting to be drawn closer to Christ through the Lord's Supper. But in order to do that, our minds need to be brought to the Scriptures. And that being the case, we must meditate upon God's Word. As brethren, for you and I, what we want to do more than anything is to tax our minds, not in deep theological thought, but by way of meditation. To be able to take what God has for us and to think through it and to bring it into our hearts, and that we will find our emotions in a right way according to the Scriptures, moving us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you would agree with me, when we come to a section of Scripture as this, we see that Christ only is the very focus in it. He's a primary figure, and He makes Himself that, especially as He's sitting with His disciples, even at the beginning of this, for another purpose. The purpose at that time is for them to have the Passover. There are three points I would like to bear upon your consciences at this time, four ways of, by way of, for meditation and for preparation of the table. The three things are clear here, I believe. Number one, we have in this very thing the institution of the Lord's Supper. Number two, we have in this very passage the importance of the Lord's Supper. And then number three, not found here, but Jesus leads to it, and more we can find in another passage, the continuation of the Lord's Supper. Now, when we come to this, we find the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who institute the Lord's Supper. And as I say, number one, the occasion of the institution of the Lord's Supper, that is, what was taking place, what was the context, why did the Lord Jesus Christ do this? And we can see clearly what the context is when we look at verse 15. It says here, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then we go on as we read more, we can see the focus is on the Passover. We ought to see what Christ is saying, first of all, when he says, I have earnestly desired. You and I need to sort of see Christ. Not with our eyes, but actually in this occasion, and what is he doing? Now, Jesus Christ, he was a true Jew, and he understood what was going on and what had come to the people of Israel through the very deliverance out of Egypt. And he knew that was something that God had given, and it ought to be carried out. It ought to be focused upon, and it should be. And so Jesus Christ, as he sits with them there, he sits with them for the very reason. And it is, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover. This is the very thing that he saw most focused in his mind, because he knew the next step would be his suffering. And he says to them in verse 16, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, we see pictures in his talk about the Last Supper. Actually, when we turn to the very occasion of the Passover here, it truly is the last one for Jesus. And Jesus knew that that was the last one. And now what we can see in this, and we should understand, that Jesus Christ at this point is saying here is that this will be the last Passover that I will eat with you. And I earnestly desire. The commentator says when we look at this word desire and earnestly put there, this is really taken to a level that other parts of the scriptures we don't find it. They look at one place as given back over in the Old Testament as it's actually translated in the Septuagint. But this word is here. Jesus is to have great desire to sit down with his disciples and to have the Passover meal. The Passover is what he wanted to do. And I believe the reason why he had it is because he wanted now to say he fulfilled. He actually is fulfilling what was taking place under the Old Testament and the Passover there. And this will be a changing point now. Something else is going to happen from this point on. So there will be an end of one thing and a beginning of the next. And so Jesus Christ wanted to sit and have it there with them, for I believe for that very purpose. Now, when we look at the Passover, we must understand what is really taking place. Jesus looked back to the Passover and the purpose of it, and that is that these understood and knew what God did with the Passover. Now, your minds can go back to Exodus, and you can find there where Moses tells them as they would leave Egypt that what they would do, they would have their ready and dressed and eat the lamb that in most cases, well, in all cases, had to live in a house with them for so many days, and then they would kill that lamb, and then they would eat it, and they would have their spear in their hand and everything ready to go head on because they were going to be redeemed. And there also is that lamb, the blood of the lamb, must be put all around the door. So therefore, the death angel will pass over them, and they will not receive the very death that was coming to the greater part of Egypt, especially the firstborn. And so therefore, he says, Christ is saying, now, I'm going to eat this Passover. Redemption was a thing that is truly seen and all understood. The Passover was now looking back at how Israel was redeemed by God and brought out of bondage. But also in the Passover, there was connected with that a blessed hope for the nation of Israel. Remember, up to that point, what were they? They actually were not a nation. They went into Egypt as a group of people. You know, 70 souls went down to Egypt with Joseph. And that was it. But now, numbers are great. Millions or probably more are coming out. But they're going to come out and God's going to form them into a nation. All the blessings that they had heard through Abraham now coming to them and the blessing that they would be upon the earth, it will now come. And we see in the Old Testament, even through Exodus and the other one of the five books by Moses, we see that God is forming them into a nation. And he tells them that he is going to bless them because he is going to be their God and they will be his people. And then also connected with that, trust in the promises of God. God, he did show them they must trust him. Do as he said. Follow his commandments and they will be blessed. And so all this was connected with the Passover. And any Jew at that time sitting down and taking that Passover, their mind would have gone back to that. And so all this being the very thought on the mind of Jesus and his disciples, they would think of the same thing. But now what Christ does here in the occasion at the Passover, he gives the institution. And this is a significant change. As I indicated, what's going to take place, you notice, even here, we have recorded for us not only in Luke's Gospel, but in the other accounts of the very Lord's Supper, that what was taking place in the Passover, eating certain parts of it, and then at a certain point, Jesus makes the change. And again, I indicate it. This is going to be the ending. Look at it in verse 17. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Still, this is the cup for the Passover. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Now he institutes the Lord's Supper. You see, the end of the old way of redemption, or I should say the focus on it anymore by God's people, it now comes to an end. And we can actually say, as you look back into the old way of redemption, it pointed to a greater way of redemption. And that's why John can say, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus now puts himself right in the center of this very institution. Yes, we ate the lamb. We ate all the other parts of the meal that should have been eaten by us, the unleavened bread and all that. And that pictured back at what God did, bringing his people out of Egypt. But now Jesus said, you're going to focus it all upon me, because now you're going to see what God's doing in bringing his new covenant people out of bondage. And the redemption that will be done because of what I'm going to do with my own body. So here is the occasion. The occasion is clear. It opens up to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm sitting with my disciples and I'm taking them, ending one way of worship and the effects or the very hope in Old Testament redemption, bringing you now into New Testament redemption. It's all going to be upon me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the occasion of the institution. There, changing or now growing into something new, reminds us what the Lord Jesus Christ says. You don't put new wine in old wineskins. You don't sew new cloth on an old ripped garment. So it's going to be entirely new. Jesus closes off that chapter or ends it, and now a new one starts. Secondly, we ought to look at and understand the importance of the Lord's Supper. We have to see and understand that as we and sort of move into the mind and set and the thinking of a Hebrew at that time. Here was, and as they thought about the sacrifice of redemption, which was there as the lamb that they would have. Now, these at that day didn't go through. They actually coming out of Egypt, but they know all about it. And as they have sat down year after year, they have eaten those things, which reminds them of the bitterness there in Egypt and coming out of it. And so, therefore, it was important to them to take part in this. It was God that says, now, you sanctify this time. You are to do this. You are to continue on in this Passover. It's God that said what they must do, how they must eat, and what things must take forth, be brought forth in that. And so it was an important issue for them. They would not turn away from it. Any good man or woman taking up and understanding the truth of God's word and his redemption did not look lightly at the Passover. There was an importance in it. And that importance, brother, we can say redemption was there. But now the importance of the Lord's Supper, we have to take and see what that is. The sacrifice for redemption has changed. And now that sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes it clear in this. And here is the importance. We can say, first of all, the change which is made. Take a man's mind and make him and move him from what he's been thinking and brought up with so many years. And this is truth. And for them, it was truth. But yet God's progression, he comes into redemption now. He's going to focus on something else. And this is what they need to see and understand. And so Jesus says, now, at this particular time, I want you now to focus upon something else. Notice verse 19. He says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. He establishes for them the importance of this very supper. He's showing them now that what they had on their plate a few moments ago, half hour, hour ago, is no longer important. What is important now is that their focus be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is important, and at this point, and remember, dear people, he had not yet gone to the cross. But he says now, here is the establishment. At this point, no longer would those who would worship God, come to God, be drawn to God, be redeemed by God, no longer through the old sacrificial way. No longer through even what God had set up, because now it moves on and into another sphere, if he would say that. He says now, this is what you must see and understand. This is my body. And I'm not going to go into all that has gone on through the years and some who have made problems with this, even on down to the church fathers and trying to trade that it turned into his actual body. We know it represents Jesus Christ, and he's given up his body for us, taking that body and putting it up on a cross, so therefore it will receive the wrath of God. That is the body that says now, all the sins of my people will be brought upon me, and then I would go and I would die for them. You see, the importance of this is that that's the same thing that happened in the Old Testament. For one to be atoned, he had to bring his very sacrifice to the high priest, and then therefore he was killed, and then that one died in the place of the man. And so then when we look at even at the Passover coming out, the lamb died. His blood was put over the door and the lintels, and they came out without having any harm whatsoever. And so now, just as death passed over those there, Jesus can say, this is my body. And guess what? Once you focus on this, death and all the wrath of God will pass over you. You will no longer look back to Egypt and redemption there. You're going to look to this very night. And then it will be all brought to an understanding in a day or two when it comes to the cross and I die. And also, when you come in that morning, I'm out of the grave and God, and I will even meet with you. If we can just push ahead a little bit, and I will tell you all who I am and where I am, and I will be given all power, and I will send you forth. But I want you to know right now, this represents my body. The whole idea of bitter herbs and all that was eaten under that old system. Now here it is, my body. It's broken for you. But then he uses the cup also. And he says in verse 20, this cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. And he says here, look at the cup. What did you think about when you had the cup, the fruit of the vine? When you look back to Egypt, you thought about the blood of the lambs, which were put on the doorposts and the lintels. But now, look at this. This blood which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. My blood is the very thing that you're going to focus upon now. You're not going to focus upon anything else. What you may be able to bring and think that it'll be a suitable sacrifice. It will not be. You must focus on one thing, and that is my blood. But he adds, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is the very covenant that God himself has promised. And we can find that all the way back. All the way back in Exodus chapter 24. God is covenant. He makes covenant with them. He said this was going to happen. Jeremiah, he said, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And this is what's going to happen. Jesus says, this is it. Stop looking back now. God made promises. He actually spoke through the prophets and all men and says, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus says, it is now coming to fruition. My blood is poured out for you. My blood is going to be the very thing that's going to, you will see. Now we have to understand when he says my blood, it here represents he will die. He's going to die for them. And then he goes on as the importance of this, looking at first of all the sacrifice, which is a new sacrifice of redemption, is for them and their separation from God the Father. They will learn later on, but it is his body, it's his blood. But he says this. Then he says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, now, what did they do? And we can see and understand this. If we move back to the Old Testament system, as they set up for the Passover, they were doing that in remembrance of God's work of bringing them out of Egypt. They remembered all the things that were done here. And remembrance is not just setting your mind on it. Remembrance is entering into it. Where would we be as a people right now? No doubt they would say. If God hadn't redeemed them from out of Egypt, where would we be? We would not exist. And no doubt their minds would go back. And Jesus said, when God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Out of all the peoples of the earth, I've chosen you. And they continue. Why? Because he redeemed them. And all that no doubt would come to their minds. And they would know they exist even up to this very time because of God. Oh, they may have murmured and grumbled because the Romans had their iron foot upon them. And things weren't the way they really liked it. And things could have been a little bit better. And we should have our own state, you know, nation now. Why do we have to be under the foot of another nation? But yet they still could look back and say, we exist because God has helped us to exist. He is the one. And so remembrance for them would have looked at all that God had did. And no doubt, the righteous man, the one who looking for the kingdom to come, would say, our God has done great things in bringing us out of Egypt. Our God has done great things along the path as we live now, generation after generation. And our God is still doing great things. And they would remember that. And they would partake in the Passover with great joy and expectation of God to continue on. But this is what Jesus is saying. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, dear people, he's saying now, look to the cross. Look at what took place upon the cross. Look what had happened to my body as it was broken for you. Look at the very wounds I had and blood gushed out. Why did that happen? I didn't have to do anything to make myself right with my Father. I didn't have to do anything to actually make myself look better. And I didn't do anything to try to make a better world or better society. This is my body which is given for you. This cup which is poured out for you. And Jesus is saying, here is the importance of the Lord's Supper. You now bring all your worship to me. Under the old system, the mind of the worshiper was placed upon the animal that was there, knowing that God himself accepts the sacrifice and all is putting on the animal, and the animal dies. He becomes a more loving worshiper when he knows God has forgiven everything because now it's been done away with on the animal. You and I, when we come and he says, this is my body, it takes us to the cross. And we know we are not worthy to come into the very presence of Christ. We have nothing that we can say, Lord God, look what I have done. You ought to receive me on that alone. No, we look to the cross and we say, oh God, because of him and what he has done, I'm set free. This is my body, which is given for you. And as we come, we find ourselves, as he says, do this in remembrance of me. They knew, the Old Testament, that they were atoned on the basis of the sacrifice. Under the new system, dear people, where Jesus is a sacrifice, the mind is placed on him as our substitute, dying in our place. Not dying as a good man. Not dying as an example. Dying in your place. You and I deserve to be on a cross. I like the way some say it. Barabbas was let go and Jesus died. Guess what? All of us are Barabbas now. We are let go. All the wickedness we've done, but we are set free. And Jesus dies. And here is the importance that we find in the Lord's Supper. It now turns us to Him. It turns us to His very life. He says, this is my body. This is the blood. But He says something here that you and I should see and understand. This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Dear people, as we study the Bible, we should be happy when we read that word, covenant. Now I know there are, in this world, man's agreement or man's covenant. In some cases, it doesn't amount to anything. But not with God. Not with God. He establishes a covenant. It will not be broken. And the good thing about it, that the covenant that is set by God, it's not that God does this and we do that also. His covenant is completely all for us. He does it all. We receive just the blessings from it. We don't have to do anything to hold or keep or even receive the covenant. And that's why Jesus says, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The covenant is not ratified because you and I came and we shook hands with the Lord. And that made it so where He says, okay, now you're in. No, it is the blood. The blood which is poured out, it ratified the new covenant. And the wonder of wonders is, just like in the old system, when the death angel come and they saw the blood on the doorpost and they passed right by. Oh, dear people, the wrath of God passes by you because you are covered with Christ's blood. That blood was shed for you. And that blood is the very thing that makes it now. You are set free. And so here's the importance. You and I got to look to Christ as it comes to the table. You no longer. All that we understand of the old system has been brought to an end. It ended. Now something else began. And that which began was now Jesus Christ is center. He is the one that you and I should look upon. He is the one that was so gracious and He died in our place. The occasion. Jesus took this, and rightly so. The one thing that I believe, one of the things at least, one of those very feasts that was keeping the nation together, and that was the Passover celebration. But Jesus takes that occasion, and He brings the importance upon the Lord's Supper. But thirdly, the continuation of the Lord's Supper is we set forth right here also. He says this, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, as you look, and if you understand, I shouldn't say if you understand, as you look at this, it makes it clear, a proper translation of this would be, of this phrase would be, this keep on doing in remembrance of me. Not to do it one time and be satisfied. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me. And I can add, do not stop doing this. You know why, dear people? Because it does bring us close to Christ again. It does cause us to focus upon Him in this very way. It does help us to see our Lord again as our Savior and what He did for us. Jesus intended that this ordinance would continue until He returned. He is saying this is the very thing that must happen. I will not. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Christ has said it will not end until He comes. But He says something wonderful there. You are actually going to proclaim the Lord's death. You're not proclaiming anything else in that except the Lord's death. Brother, when we come to the table, it is actually a picture of death. That's what you and I need. We need a death. Death as a substitute. We should have died. And He says, you proclaim it. But He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. In the very words themselves, we have a clear understanding that the ordinance must be continued. He didn't say when you, as often as. In other words, to be obedient to Christ is to continue the ordinance as part of our worship. It must be a part of it. And now each local church, they look at that in their own way. How do they do that? Some and many are moving to it. They should have it every Lord's Day. Well, they are doing the often as we do it. Some may do it a little less, like we do it monthly. But here's Christ to say, this must be a part of your worship. It has to be there. It can't be cut out. Because, see, you and I have to understand the importance of Christ's death is that how can we have true worship to God where the death of Christ is not center in that worship? As reading in the scripture reading this morning, as pastor reminds us that some of the things that come in, and sin come in, they begin to erode the truth and they fall away. I've seen in my lifetime that one of the things that falls away in churches that turns away from the truth is the Lord's Supper. They stop taking it. So he's saying here, as often as you eat it, Jesus is saying here that this is what must be done. You know what, brother? You and I can really understand that, though, can't we? Because basically what we're doing is that we're focusing all that we are in our redemption is only in the cross of Christ Jesus. Now, we can think that through in our heads sometime, but as the God of the Old Testament gave those points of times where there would be some kind of feast that they had to hold to, Jesus did it in our times with ordinances, baptism in the Lord's Supper. You are to look at these, and these are important. But not only that, we find Paul says, attaching another phrase to that in 1 Corinthians 11:26, until he comes. Until he comes. The church is commanded to continue the ordinance until Christ returns. We are not to remove it from the very worship of the church. We're not to remove it from the very things that affects the hearts of men and women who belong to Christ Jesus. Never take it away until he comes. Christ is saying as often as you do it, you ought to continue to do it. And here we find Paul saying the same thing. Do not get rid of this ordinance. Meditate upon that truth, dear people. And you and I, as we see it, we should have that as the very thing that prepare our hearts for the table. Let me give quick applications to you. First of all, the promised blessings are real, dear people. And all who come to the table must have faith in the promises associated with the supper. You and I must have faith in them. What are they? We see them so clear as they were in the Old Testament. Redemption from sin. Then Jesus says, I died for you. And that the sins were now covered on himself. Well, that's the promise. You have been redeemed from sin. You have been redeemed and therefore you don't have to worry about sin. I don't care what anybody says to you that your sins will actually catch up with you someday. Not if Jesus died for you. Sins in the past, sins in the present, sins in the future, they're all been taken care of. That's the promise. That's the blessing. If it's not true, Jesus is not a good Savior. He took our sins upon Him. And guess what, dear people? For you and I sitting here today, before we were ever born, how many did He take? 5 or 6? Those in adolescent? Young men, young women? No, every one of them. Even the ones we have not yet committed. Jesus took it to the cross. And he says we are redeemed. We have redemption from sin. And also, there's a blessed hope of being with Christ Jesus. I love the way he says this. Actually, he says this even under the old Passover covenant. But he points it all the way to now what's going to take place with those 12 there as they would now finish this and what they should look forward to. Verse 16, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 18, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. What is he looking at? He's looking at that time when you and I would be with him, as it says in the book of the Revelation, sitting down at the supper of the Lamb. And that's what he's pointing to. And this is the blessed hope of being with Christ. And there he says, as we come, we have the promise of these blessings. Should you and I doubt that? No. If anyone in here today named the name of Christ and they're wondering if they'll be in heaven, oh, dear child of God, you're mixed up. You are mixed up. God tells you clearly that you don't need to wonder about that. And the only thing you have to go to is knowing and understand the blessedness of Jesus Christ and what he's done. But I must say to you also, that is actually proven with a transformed life. Secondly, all who come to the table must have faith in the death of Christ Jesus and trust in his atoning work on the cross. This is the importance of the institution. Throw it down. What may we have in our hands at particular times and think that we're going to do all right? You know, this duty, this deed, this work. Throw it down. Look to Christ and Christ alone. It is the death of Christ that we must trust in. Oh, don't look at your life and think what you're going to do or have done or is doing is going to make you better with God. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That is not going to get you and I into heaven. We're going to go to heaven because we trust on Jesus Christ. Now, our lives will be changed because we have been saved unto good works. We have not been saved by good works, but unto good works. And that's the difference there. You and I will find ourselves living different men and women and boys and girls because of who we are and what's happened inside of us. But the one thing we trust on and hold tight is we trust in Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. Thirdly, the Lord's Supper is to continue until Christ returns. Therefore, it must be an act entered into with trust in Christ for renewed faith and hope. Please, dear brethren, don't take the bread, don't take the cup, just to go through the motions. That's not the reason for it. Take it, renewing your hope. If it wasn't for that body broken, which is represented by this bread, I would still be under the wrath of God. If it wasn't for the blood poured out for me, I would not be a recipient of the new covenant. I would not be one in the kingdom of God. It's only what Jesus has done, and we must see that and understand that. And oh, and finally, a heart prepared for the table is a heart that comes in sweet submission to Jesus. Can you imagine in the upper room what they were going through at this time when they heard that for the first time? My body, my blood. Can you imagine the thoughts that came to them? At least for a little while, because it quickly they began to talking about, you know, who's the greatest. But imagine there was a point in time when they said, oh, what can we do but submit to this one? They didn't trust in their works. Or we should say it this way. We don't trust in our works, but on Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, your only focal point is the cross where Christ died for you. The cross. There is your redemption. There is my redemption. This takes us to the cross. May God help us. That we will not go through this as, oh, it's another first Sunday. And here we are, we're taking communion. No, we are focusing on Jesus Christ, who died for us. Let us pray.